Welcome to the Left of the Bang Mindfulness Podcast Series. I am Navy Lieutenant Commander Courtney Pullman Turner, clinical psychologist. The views expressed in this podcast are a reflection of my clinical training and experience. As we wrap up our Left of the Bang Mindfulness Podcast series, I'm going to leave you with some information on habit change that I hope will help you make a mindfulness practice a habit in your own life. So anyone who's ever pursued a New Year's resolution knows that it can be very difficult to change a habit or to form a new, healthier habit. If you've made it this far through the podcast series, then you're probably pretty familiar with the different ways that mindfulness practice can improve your life. It would be a shame if I didn't give you some information to help you make it a habit. I'm going to give you some info now about how our brains work and what that means as far as making something into a habit, and then we'll discuss what that might look like in practice. So this is a bit of an oversimplification, as I know I've said on some other episodes, but for the purposes of understanding how to make a new behavior a habit, I'm going to say that our brain is divided into two different systems that decide how we behave in a given situation. Because I'm only going to touch on this topic for a few minutes, please feel free to check out the book Thinking Fast and Slow that explores this concept in much greater detail. The name of the book and the author are included in the references for this podcast episode. So again, we're going to say that our brain is divided into two different systems that influence how we behave. We're going to call the first system System 1, and that system controls fast and automatic responses. And System 2 manages our slower, more analytical responses, so when we really have to think things through. So if you think about what might fall into System 1, think of behaviors that you do automatically at this point. So, and we're not talking reflexes, right? Like if I throw something at your face, you're gonna flinch or blink automatically. That's not quite what we're talking about here. We're talking about learned behaviors that have become automatic. So one example is most of us probably buckle our seatbelt up almost automatically when we get in the car. After a certain age, most of us are able to tie our shoelaces without thinking about it. Put toothpaste on our toothbrush while we're talking to our spouse because it's just such an automatic behavior that we're no longer having to deliberate about the order of activities involved in brushing our teeth. At one time, none of those behaviors were automatic, so none of them were governed by System 1 originally. They were governed by System 2, meaning you had to really think to remember to buckle up your seatbelt, or you had to learn some type of strategy for how to remember how to tie your shoes, or you had to be reminded by an adult to put toothpaste on your toothbrush, or even just to brush your teeth in general. So when we're using System 2 to govern an activity, that's going to take up a lot more mental energy and more time than System 1. That means that System 1 is more efficient, and generally, as long as the right cues are present, we're more likely than not to complete a behavior that is governed by System 1. So I'm just going to summarize really quickly before I move on, but we are looking at two different systems that govern our behavior, and System 1 is fast and automatic, so it's things that have basically become habits, and System 2 requires more work for our brains and takes more time and energy. So these are new habits we're trying to develop, new skills we're learning, things that we have to think about critically. When you adopt a new behavior, whether that's a daily mindfulness meditation, developing better posture, eating more vegetables, whatever, you're going to be using System 2 initially. So that's the slow, deliberate thinking system when you first start. So that's the part of your brain that's going, do I really want to meditate? Do I just want to go ahead and drink my coffee and get on with my day? In order to go ahead and meditate, you're going to have to rely on System 2 to help you make that choice. Since System 2 requires a lot more energy and effort from us, we're also more likely to fail at completing a new behavior when we're tired or our schedule changes unexpectedly or we're hungry, or basically there's any other stressor that's drawing from our mental and emotional reserves. If you really want a behavior to become a habit, it's important to figure out how to turn that into an action that is governed by System 1. So how do we make it automatic? We can do this most easily by pairing with another behavior that is already governed by System 1, or by creating some type of cue that's going to signal us to automatically do this behavior. I'll give you an example. One of my patients found it really difficult to remember to do the worksheets that we were discussing in therapy. So he had tried setting reminders on his phone or asking friends to encourage him, but that just didn't work consistently. Eventually, he realized all on his own that he had the habit of getting on his computer every day as soon as he got back from work. So he started taking one blank worksheet and putting it inside of his laptop so that when he opened his laptop at the end of the workday, the blank worksheet would fall out and remind him to complete it. Of course, it didn't work all the time because it still took some self-discipline in the moment, but the longer he maintained this pattern, the less self-control he needed in order to complete the worksheets. It just feels automatic to him now, so most days he completes the worksheet whether he wants to or thought about it or not. It's become a habit. Okay, time for me to be honest with you about my own relationship with mindfulness in the beginning. I only started my own mindfulness meditation practice a few years ago because I had read the research about the benefits and I knew it was something I needed to be able to offer my patients. I also knew it was something that I probably would not be very good at teaching my patients to do if I wasn't doing it consistently myself. I only started practicing mindfulness because it just didn't make sense not to do it given my profession. I was actually still pretty grumpy about having to be still and quiet with my thoughts. I dreaded it every day and I found it really difficult to practice mindfulness daily. There were two things that finally helped me create a mindfulness meditation habit. First, I gave myself permission to meditate for only 1 minute. For real, just 1 minute a day. I told myself that I could do almost anything for a minute. And in the case of mindfulness, it was definitely true. After a while, a minute didn't feel quite so long, so I started meditating for 3 minutes. Then eventually 5 minutes, and now I pretty consistently meditate for anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes almost every single day. I think 10 to 15 minutes of mindfulness practice a day is an excellent goal to set, but it's really okay to start small and work your way up, especially if starting small means that you're going to do it more consistently. You can think of it like a workout, so you're going to get a lot more benefit by doing a little bit every single day than trying to cram a week's worth of working out into 1 or 2 days a week. This consistency is also going to help make that behavior a System 1 behavior, or in other words, a habit. The second thing that helped me create a habit of mindfulness meditation was pairing it with an activity that I already do at a time of day when I'm less likely to be distracted by other activities. At first, I tried meditating in the morning right after my alarm went off, but I would either fall back to sleep or not give it my all because I really just wanted to focus on getting ready for my day and getting out the door. Next, I tried meditating during lunch, and that definitely works sometimes, but as most of you probably know from your own experience, other things come up at lunch during work. And this happened enough that it became clear that I could not consistently meditate at lunchtime. It just was not an ideal time. Finally, I decided to try meditating immediately after I brushed my teeth in the evening and before I got into bed. It took some discipline at first for sure, but given that I allowed myself to only do a minute at a time, I eventually was able to make the meditation practice so automatic that I started setting up the guided meditation on my phone before I'd even finished brushing my teeth. There are occasionally nights when I think about skipping my meditation, but for the most part, it's a System 1 activity for me now. It is a pretty solid habit. I hope you've enjoyed the Left of the Bang Mindfulness podcast, and I sincerely hope that you will consider making mindfulness a consistent practice for you and maybe even for those in your work environment. I'm going to lead you through a final mindfulness meditation. If you're interested in learning more about mindfulness or having some training held in your workspace about mindfulness or any of the other strategies and techniques that we've talked about for improving work performance, health, and life satisfaction, reach out to the Oscar embedded with your command. Or if you're not at a command that has an Oscar embedded, consider reaching out to the local military treatment facility's mental health clinic. There are often people on staff who are capable, ready, and willing to provide these trainings for you and your coworkers. Beginning now with our mindfulness exercise. Ensuring you're not engaged in driving or any other activities that would prevent you from being fully present. Finding a comfortable space where you're unlikely to be disturbed. With your eyes open, just taking a few deep breaths, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. With each out breath, feeling your body soften, feeling your gaze soften. And with the next out breath, just gently closing your eyes, letting your breath return to whatever rhythm feels normal, natural to you. Briefly scanning through your body, becoming aware of any areas of tightness, and also noticing any areas of ease or comfort. Noticing the sounds around you, the feel of the air, any smells, any other sensations. And when you're ready, turning your attention to your breath. Noticing the feel of the in-breath, perhaps noticing the sensation of the air moving past the nostrils, the feel of the rise and the fall in your body. And noticing each out breath. If it's helpful to maintain your focus, beginning to count each breath with one on the in breath, two on the out breath, all the way to 10. Starting over again when you reach 10. Just noticing that rise and fall. And when your mind becomes distracted, as we know it's normal for minds to do, just noticing that distraction, whether it's a sound, a thought, a feeling, and gently bringing your attention back to your breath. Noticing the rise and the fall. Taking a moment now and letting go of that focus, beginning to let your mind do whatever it wants to do in this moment. So if it wants to think, let it think, or let it worry, or let it wander. Bringing your attention gradually back to your body, becoming more aware of the weight of your body, the feel of the surface supporting you, the noises, the smells, the air temperature in the room around you, and gradually, in your own time, gently opening your eyes and returning your awareness to your present surroundings.